Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin First Quarter 2010 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and welcome to the Quarter 1 conference call of DiaSorin. And I will give you a comment to the results of the quarter, and then Andres and Aldi, the Chief Financial Officer, will guide you through the presentation. I would like to touch on four different areas, revenue stream and liaison install base, the Nurex acquisition, and R&D and liaison Excel. So let me start to talk about the revenue for quarter one. As you have seen, the quarter has been very good for the DiaSorin with a 23% like-for-like increase of sales versus quarter one last year. Let me give you a brief comment on different geographies. Let's start from the U.S. We continue the expansion of the liaison install base. In the quarter, we have installed 30 liaison systems between U.S. and Canada, and half of which are carrying mixed menu between infectious disease and vitamin D. So as we have seen consistently over the last few quarters, we continue to work a strategy whereas infectious disease is bundled with vitamin D on new liaison installations. As a note, 30% of the placements have been obtained through Cardinal. So this now is the third quarter in a row where we see that the organization, the DiaSorin Direct Sales Force, is placing the majority of the boxes, and Cardinal has a contribution that goes from 20 to 30% depending on quarters. As a brief comment to the vitamin D market in the U.S., as you have seen from comments reported from the big private labs, LabCorp and Quest, the vitamin D market continues to grow strong. The demand is strong now coming from several different clinical areas, and we are confident that this growth can continue over the foreseeable future. When it comes to Europe, we have a strong expansion of the liaison install base in this geography as well. And we have countries like France and Israel where the growth has again reached over 30%, and we have a strong liaison installation. Regarding the Italian domestic market, where clearly the DiaSorin enjoys a very high market share, there has been a slowdown in Q1, even if we had a strong liaison placement rate, and the reason being that a very big tender with 30-some systems has been won by the company. Installation have been done in Q1, and we expect the revenue stream to come in starting from quarter two. If we go now to Asia-Pacific, as you know, starting from January, we have moved our operation direct from our Chinese office. The company is growing very strong in China with a growth of 30%, mainly driven by traditional oncology and thyroid and infectious disease products. Over 20 systems have been placed in the region in the quarter, and again, we continue to experience a very strong growth in that area that is strategic for DiaSorin. And we have set our organization ready to receive the Nurex revenues after closing, and I'm going to comment on the Nurex deal in a while. And finally, when it comes to South America, as we have said in previous calls, we have established some strong distribution network in countries where the company was not present before. Venezuela is a very good example where a distributor that previously was a distributing system from a very large competitor has moved to the ISORIN, and we have installed in the country over 20 systems, and the projection is to get close to 100 in the next 24 months. So the strategy of developing revenues in areas where the company was not present is providing strong benefits to us. Finally, Brazil, as you know, this is the last quarter where comparing quarter to quarter, we are comparing a situation where a large tender that was not available to us in 2009-2010 compares with the previous year where still in quarter one, 2009, we were supplying such tender. So quarter to quarter, Brazil doesn't show a significant growth. However, the company has been awarded with the same tender starting from quarter two. So we will start shipping again on that tender in quarter two, and we expect then to see again a growth coming from Brazil starting from next quarter. And overall, we have installed over 153 systems, liaison system in quarter one, which shows how the liaison program still carries lots of weight. The placement have happened in spread over many geographies, so it's not that one geography is pushing it, which is showing that the liaison system driven by menu is still a very appealing system to the market. Second, let me move to Murex and comment on Murex. Pre-closing activities along with Abbott are going very well, and we expect to close by June 1st. We are spending the current time available to separate some of the activities that today are conducted by Abbott for their own product line and the Murex product line, especially in the UK manufacturing site. As far as distribution, we have prepared our own network to receive the Murex products, as well as we have found agreement with Abbott where in certain geographies where Abbott is particularly strong, Abbott will continue to distribute some of these products on the ISORIN behalf, which is clearly very relevant for the ISORIN. Now let me move to research and development and the Liaison Excel program. The product validation, as stated, continues, and we have now 35 systems that are installed at the different manufacturing sites of ISORIN in US, Germany, and Italy. For research and development and quality control activities, which are necessary for a launch which will happen later on in the year. From a registration point of view, HCV, HIV, and HBV assets have been submitted. For one of these products, we have received back from GMED a deficiency letter, and the company is working to submit response by the end of May. Now, I will turn the podium to Andrea, who is going to guide you through the financial details for the quarter, and then we're going to take your questions.
Thank you, Carlo. Good morning or good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I think that Carlo has touched pretty much on all the highlights of the quarter, so my suggestion would be to move straight to slide number two with the Q1 income statement. As you have seen from Carlo's speech, our net revenues, as reported, are up versus quarter one 2009 by more than 20%. We are still, on a two-quarter comparison, we are still slightly suffering from the exchange rate versus the U.S. dollar. In fact, the growth rate at constant exchange rate would have been 23.2%. Now, the devaluation quarter-on-quarter of the U.S. dollar has been compensated in part by the uplift of all the other major currencies, and in particular the Brazilian reais versus the euro. We will touch later on more in detail on the revenues. As we move down the P&L, you can see that our margin, our gross margin, has moved up by 1.5 percentage points, so from the 70% almost at the end of quarter 1 2009, up to 71.6, with a growth rate in absolute terms of almost 25% year on year. Operational expenses have grown much less than proportionally to the top line. The ratio of OPEX to turnover has gone down from 35.1% to 32.9, so more than 2 percentage points. In the line other operating expenses, which we account in the quarter for 2 million, you have to bear in mind that we have reported here slightly more than 1 million euros of cost of a non-recurring nature, which are associated to the mainly to the legal assistance to the acquisition of the Murex business line from Abbott. All in all, as a consequence of the above mentioned effects, our EBIT for the quarter is 31.5 million euros, up almost 30% versus previous year, and our EBITDA is 36.1, up 27% versus Q1 of 2009. And the relative ratio to the turnover is in both cases up by about 2 percentage points. Last but not least, as we move down to the net result, I have to point out the effect of the change in accounting principle vis-a-vis the exchange rate differences that we recorded in previous years on the financial debt that we carry in euros. We have adopted, as of 2010, hedge accounting according to IAS 39. And therefore, these differences are now not anymore reported through the P&L, but they are charged directly against the reserve, the conversion reserve in equity. So at the end of the quarter, we do report a net result of 19.5 million euros versus 13.2 of previous year, with an uplift of almost 50%. As we move to a detailed analysis of the revenues, I suggest we move to slide number 4, where you will notice that Clea as a technology remains the driving force of the top line. Clea is up versus previous quarter, versus the first quarter of 2009, more than 35%. This is clearly driven by the enlargement of the install base. Carl already mentioned we have installed in the quarter 153 new instruments, which represents a new record for the DSRM group. And that, I remind you, is net placement, so already netted off the instruments that we will withdraw from the market. It is clearly driven by the enlargement of the menu of assets that we offer on the Liaison platform. It is boosted by the new agreement, particularly in third-party distribution in Latin America, Carl already mentioned, and, of course, the continuing success of our vitamin D test. If you look at the quarter, our revenue are now weighted for almost 68% of the total turnover versus chemiluminescence. As we move to the analysis by geography, you will see that as of this quarter, we do report according to the new management structure created in 2009 on a regional management basis. So we are now divided into four areas: Europe and Africa, North America, Latin America, which includes Mexico, and Asia Pacific, which includes clearly China. Europe, the European and African market has grown by almost 9% versus previous year. As Carlo mentioned, this is lagging slightly behind the previous records because of the slowdown in the initial part of the year of the Italian market. North America continues booming with 45% as reported and 54% growth rate at comparable exchange rate. In Latin America, the growth at 18.7% is very much boosted by the exchange rate effect. On a comparable basis, it would be close to 6%, and this is again suffering the effect of the large tender, the large Brazilian tender Carlo already mentioned. And Asia-Pacific is continuously contributing to the significant growth of the group with a plus 20% over the previous year. If we come down to specific markets, I think Carl already mentioned France and Israel at close to 30% growth rate versus the comparable quarter of 2009. As we move to the analysis of the profitability indicators, we have some details on slide number 7. Gross margin, I repeat, in absolute terms, growing almost 25%, moving up 1.5 percentage points from 70% to 71.6% of total sales. EBITDA, in absolute terms, plus 27%, moving up 2 percentage points versus previous year in ratio to sales. And operating profit, 29.2% uplift, moving up from 34.2 to 36.4 of total sales. What is driving up our profitability is and continue to be the structural effects that have underlined the improvement in the previous quarters, which are, in a summary, the improvement in technological mix between the most mature technology like RIA and ELISA into chemiluminescence. The strong growth within the clear portfolio of specialty assays and particularly vitamin D sales, and the operational leverage that we are able to achieve on the transferable of our cost. I'd like to remind you that within the operational expenses of the first quarter of 2010, you also find the investment that, or the full deployment of the investment serving the geographical expansion in particular in countries like the Czech Republic or Canada or Holland, which have been implemented in the course of 2009 and were not entirely present in the first quarter. All in all, we have already seen the improvement of the net results that in terms of percentage to sales is moving from 18.4% of revenues to 22.5%. And we already commented that these results already discount 1 million euros of non-recurring items related to the acquisition of the newest business line. As we move to the balance sheet, I will point your attention to the fact that our net capital employed has increased from the 207 almost million euros at the end of 2009 to 212, basically driven by all the assets present on the balance sheet. Net working capital fully under control, the increase of receivables that is related to the expansion of the business is partly offset by the increase of the payables to our suppliers. The total capital employed is financed by almost 244 million euros in shareholders' equity and the positive financial position of 31 million. In quarter one, we had generated an operational cash flow of 25.2 million before capital expenditure of almost 6. In 2009, in the similar quarter, we had generated 18.1 million before capital expenditure of 8.8 million. The difference between the two quarters in terms of capex is represented by the intangible assets of invested in last year, where we bought out the distribution rights for the territory of BSL in Czechia. The consequence of the strong cash generation is the fact that at the end of the quarter, the company enjoys cash and cash equivalents in the range of more than 69 million euros. This is as much as I wanted to say so far, so I would now leave the floor to a Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse- Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Fitz Peters of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Three quick questions for you. First off, now that the Pavlovirus and the other two have been added to the menu, beyond HCV, HPV, or and HIV, are there any other important products that you have that are coming onto the menu that that you have in development? For the Liaison, for Liaison XL. I mean, I know there are a number that are coming on for Liaison XL that are in Liaison, but are there any additional tests that you have in development that will be important? Second, the we've heard discussions about decline in physicians' office visits, primarily in the U.S. I'm just wondering if that's having any slowing impact in the growth rate on vitamin D. And third, organic growth in excess of 20%. You have a consolidation of Murex. You're probably going to get some FX tailwind if exchange rates remain anywhere near where they are currently for the remainder of the year. And you're saying approximately 15% growth for the full year. Seems a little bit light, so just wondering if you could comment on that. Thank you.
Okay. Let's start from the easy one, which is from a research and a development point of view. We have now in the pipeline over 10 different products for development, and I remind you that products developed going forward do work both on Liaison and Liaison XL. Very clear. The cartridge is the same as the other products, and the chemistry is the same. As far as relevance of these products, I think they're all relevant for two different reasons. First one, let me say, there is a group of products like parvovirus, so specialty infectious disease products that would go on the existing install base. So the ability of a customer to use products would be very easy. Let me give an example. We have in development a pneumonia panel, which is done by chlamydia and mycoplasma, that we expect to launch by year end. These are typically products that today are done with older technologies, ELISA technologies. They are done by microbiology labs, which is where the Liaison is sitting today. And as it is happening for parvovirus conversion, it's fairly simple. The second class of products have to do with the fact that with the Murex acquisition and the launch that will go on the Liaison XL with HIV, HCV, and HBV, there are companion products that are relevant for that segment of the market. And let me give you an example, HTLV, which is a product that typically is used in blood bank screening, where Murex enjoys with the ELISA technology a leading position worldwide. It is a product that it is in the pipeline to be launched in 2011. So I believe that, as I think I commented in the last conference call, once HIV, HCV, and HBV development has been done, and that has absorbed lots of resources, we are going back to the usual our usual rate of over 10 products in product development at any given time. Now, the second question was about a slowdown in the U.S. We have not seen a slowdown in the U.S. As I mentioned during my initial comment to the results, if some of you that understood the business model and do listen to what LabCorp and Quest are saying, as far as vitamin D is concerned, they posted again a very strong growth. Which means that the adoption of the test continues in the U.S. market. So, again, we have not seen any slowdown in the U.S. Your last question is, fundamentally, you now enjoy a 23% like-for-like growth of the business, and why are you giving a guideline which is only 15%? And I will give you my usual answer. As you know, the company is realistic. We want to avoid that the financial community build over-optimistic a vision for the company going forward. I understand that there could be a very positive impact coming from the Forex, but I also would like to remind you that I think a few months ago everybody was saying that the dollar is going to be at 160 and not 125, so I would not necessarily count on the FX effect. Our 15%, by the way, just to clarify, does not include the Murex sales. That's just like-for-like sales at constant perimeter.
Okay. I guess my question is a bit more, why is it up from 10%? I mean, what does this number represent? Before, you were saying it was going to be in excess of 10%, which at least in my view was quite conservative. You did post very good results in the first quarter. You know, the installed base increasing by 150 machines is very impressive. Is this a kind of minimum? You know, if the installed base does not increase anymore, or I'm just trying to understand what the 15 represents that's different than what the in excess of 10%.
Okay, let me just give you some rationale behind this. If you remember, the quarter four growth was 15 point some percent, so and that was in line with what we are saying today, around 15%. I cannot deny the fact that there are lots of things that are moving very well for the company in all different geographies. As I said, in some of the distribution markets, we are enjoying liaison placements at a certain rate that was not foreseeable today, simply because some of our large competitors are restructuring and consolidating their commercial network. Are leaving lots of space to us. However, when you say is this a minimum, I think that this 15% is what with the outlook that we have today. And again, without considering exchange rate effects, that I agree with you, could benefit the company if the dollar stays where it is. It is something that the company sees that we can do. I agree with you that the trend on quarter one would suggest it is something higher than 15%, but for the time being, an outlook of 15 seems reasonable to us without Murex and without positive exchange rate effects.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question is from Maya Pataki of UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have two questions, and I do apologize in advance if you have mentioned that before, but my line has been really bad. I was wondering if you could give us a bit of a feeling for the installed base of 153 systems, just to see how it is distributed, U.S. versus Europe and rest of the world. I think you have mentioned it's been pretty fairly distributed, but maybe you can give us more information on that. And the second question would be with regards to the Murex deal, timing, and as of when do you believe it's going to be contributing to your sales and earnings? Thank you very much.
Okay. Yes, you missed because I think I commented this during my in opening speech. Murex, we expect closing to happen by June 1st. So we expect sales contribution starting from June. As far as the liaison installations, they are really evenly spread I usually we don't provide exact numbers per countries, but let me give you just a general sense. Half is between Europe and Africa. Roughly 30 units is U.S. and Canada, and the rest is Latin America and Pacific.
Thank you very much.
Next question is from Fraser Hall of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a couple of follow-up questions, if I may. Just on Murex, do you expect any additional costs associated with the acquisition of the Murex products at all? If so, could you give us any indication at this stage? And secondly, just with regard to the planned Liaison XL rollout, Carly, you mentioned again about a sort of a more full launch later this year, but can you just give us some sense as to how we should think about that launch in terms of its impact on Liaison itself, and you know what that might mean in terms of how we should be looking at instrument placements going forward, you know, across the latter part of this year and into next year.
Okay, let me take the Excel question. I think that as far as 2010 is concerned, I think that the impact of the Liaison Excel, as you can imagine, is going to be minimal in terms of revenue contribution, because we're talking about making it very carefully, as I mentioned 10 times already before, commercially available to selected centers starting from right after the summer. We are evaluating whether around July we are going to roll out to some selected customers the Liaison XL with the HIV and HCV products for evaluations. But again, as I said before, we are in a very fortunate situation where the Liaison carries still goes very well. You have seen that in quarter one is a record, is a record quarter for us for Liaison placement. And so we have no interest whatsoever at this stage to make a full-blown rollout with the risk of freezing the Liaison program. So, as I said, I think you should make the calculation regarding 2010 without a big impact on the Liaison XL. We will place systems after the summer, and the full revenue contribution of this program, in my opinion, clearly will start from next year.
Fraser, I'll take the question on the cost associated with the Murex deal. If you're referring to cost associated for the assistance of the acquisition process, yes, there will be some additional costs falling onto quarter two, simply because between signing and closing, we continue to use the legal teams to assist us in negotiation with Apple. Obviously, this cost will be at a much lower level than we had seen in quarter one, so we do not expect to have cost in a similar range, but rather cost lower than €500,000.
Okay, thanks.
If you are then referring to a different sort of cost, there will not be any cost associated to seeking for synergies between the two companies or the two business lines in 2010.
Okay, thank you. And just, if I may chance my arm, just one further question. Just in terms of the vitamin D landscape, are you aware of any new competitors or planned launches at all? And I guess, I mean, the only relatively recent new competitor is a relatively small UK company, but has there been any impact in the marketplace at all from their presence over the last 6 or 9 months?
I understand that this is question that comes every time, and unfortunately I will keep giving you the same answer. When it comes to IDS, we don't see IDS, honestly. I know they're doing good, I know, because I see their numbers. Clearly they're placing systems in much smaller accounts, so we don't go head to head with them when it comes to the Liaison placement. They are not in the U.S., and so we don't see them there. As far as everybody else, I think that if you look into the R&D pipeline of any diagnostic company with some brain left, you will find a vitamin D development effort. But you know, I don't follow honestly rumors of the market until I start to get facts and I start to see products and I understand how the product is. And I keep giving this example. 3 years ago, all of a sudden, Roche showed up. And you would have expected that Roche would have been a formidable competitor to Diasorin. And well, it didn't go that way. And so I keep saying we go straight with our own strategy. We are, again, spending lots of time to increase install base in the U.S., fortify the presence in the U.S., and spending time in clinical studies because I honestly believe that besides a competitor showing up, I think that the biggest risk for vitamin D is related to the fact that the clinical community has to continue to buy and to be provided with data to support large and larger use of vitamin D. And there is where our money goes and should go. Mm-hmm. Okay, so our strategy today is directed toward helping generating clinical data to support certain application for vitamin D in lucrative areas like cardiac or asthma studies. And by the same token, is going toward helping the payer to make educated decisions in terms of reimbursement and supporting vitamin D testing.
Okay, great. Thanks, Carl. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep.
Next question is from David Dudding of Threadneedle. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Carl. I just wanted to sort of confirm that post the Murex acquisition, you'll be more or less, still net cash, effectively. And if so, if there are any plans for any further acquisitions, or you think that post that deal you'll need some time to bed it in, and so you know it'll be a while before you think of something similar again.
As you have seen from our conservative approach on numbers, and sometimes it is almost ludicrous, I understand, but we are a conservative company, so I think that now is the time to make sure that the Murex acquisition is done properly. Customers will get from us the same kind of service that they've been getting from Abbott. We need to streamline a distribution and making sure that there's a very relevant product line is brought seamless in Diasorin. We really start to see working with Abbott out there that the market for ELISA in this for this application is still very big. There are very large vendors where we can participate on. So I would like this company today to focus on the Murex acquisition and do it right. And this is going to take our time throughout 2010. And then going forward, as Andrea pointed out, we have a very healthy cash generation. And as we did before, we will put this, we'll make this one available to strengthen the content and know-how of this organization. And we know that there are other opportunities out there to do so. But slowly.
Thank you.
Next question is from Fitzpeters of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Just a quick follow-up question. Molecular diagnostics. I'm just wondering if you talked about it a little bit on the call in the Q&A last quarter. You know, just the fact you were still looking for a supplier. I'm just wondering if you've got any update on that program. Thank you.
No, I don't. Again, we continue to work evaluating offers. You need to understand that, let me just give you a principle here. why this is difficult. Today, the molecular diagnostic market and all the suppliers do really benefit from a situation that, in my opinion, cannot stand for long, where customers are paying under $250 for an assay. System can cost under thousands of dollars, and the market accepts it. As you know, our point of view is completely different. Our view is that this has to become a commodity, and becoming a commodity has to increase significantly in volume. But to be a commodity, you need to work with commodity prices and price structure, which we are able to do with technology. The LAMP technology that we confirm is a very strong and cheap alternative. However, talking to these guys that today are used to making systems that they sell to diagnostic companies for $100,000 a piece, it is difficult to make them switch their mentality from small volume, high price, to high volume of boxes, but a different cost structure. And that's the difficulty that we are encountering, and I'm not available to dodge, to change my mind. Because I believe that this is the future. So we continue with the discussions until we find the partner that understands the business model. Otherwise, working with the gene probe models 20 years later is not going to work.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.